magic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I have very, very troubling news to report today. I'm extremely upset, even furious, with the Supreme Court, which has failed the American people in every possible way. This is embarrassingly bad. Mike Adams has been doing a wonderful job of update. Here's his update from December 13th, that CIA assassination squads are active in America, taking out the election fraud witnesses, that we're now living on an active battlefield, the continental United States, that millions of Americans are being held as prisoners of war by Democrat governors through their lockdowns, that media hit pieces and smears have morphed into acts of journo terrorism, that censorship by big tech has now reached the level of domestic terrorism, that trucker blockades are coming, siege warfare against the blue cities will begin, that new executive orders alter the chain of succession at the DOD in case the Secretary of Defense, Chris Miller, were to be killed, that Biden and Harris will be named in the Director of National Intelligence Radcliffe's December 18th report with huge implications. Trump can leverage against Biden to try to compel him to concede, that General Perna's Operation Warp Speed vaccination D-Day, Perna has said this is the beginning of the end. Unfortunately, there's all kinds of reasons to dread the vaccine as an instrument of depopulation of the United States, that China is surrounding the U.S. via Canada and even the Caribbean, planning a combined land invasion and missile attack in the future. One of the few of his reports on which I'm not completely convinced, a forensic audit of Dominion voting machine confirms their algorithms altered the vote. Absolute proof the election was stolen via VIG tabulation software, but we already had it in hand. Sidney Powell readies a criminal RICO and racketeering case against Dominion. His report about the attempted assassinations of those who were whistleblowing on the election fraud appears to be completely correct. I have a report from you know, video report of an attempted assassination where we see a woman who'd blown the whistle go out to her car, and a fellow in a pickup truck pulls out and gets out and tries to shoot her. It was a somewhat amateurish report, which leads me to speculate whether it could have been the CIA behind it or not, but it's certainly disturbing in and of itself. Meanwhile, we have more in the form of censorship becoming a domestic weapon of terrorism, where YouTube has deplatformed Scott Adams. Yet they're coming for the other videos soon. Extreme censorship for political cover-up purposes. You'll find YouTube has issued such an announcement. They're not going to cover any proof of election fraud or reports thereof. The Democrat governor's lockdowns are a form of domestic terrorism. I agree with that 100%. Defined as activities that appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population and influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. We have a new December 10th executive order of succession within the Department of Defense. This is just what you would do if you were expecting to enter into an era of military engagement, whether with domestic or foreign adversaries. There are reports of China surrounding the U.S., where Ezra Levant on the Tucker Carlson show explained how Justin Trudeau of Canada trained Chinese troops in Canada. This is completely outrageous. Ezra Levant, Canada is training 1 and 2 star Chinese generals in our war college, training lieutenants, majors, other commanders. Biggest scoop I've ever had. Trudeau invited Chinese troops to learn winter warfare tactics at the Canadian Forces base. This is unbelievable. There's even a question of whether the Chinese have new military bases in the Caribbean. A more concern to U.S. security interest is the ongoing seaport expansion in the already commercially important port at Kingston, Jamaica, as well as the port of Freeport in the Bahamas, where China has possible new bases of operations 90 miles off the U.S. coast. Sidney Powell's cases have standing with SCOTUS. Pay attention. We made emergency filings in the Supreme Court tonight. That would have been yesterday for Georgia and Michigan. We'll be filing Arizona, Wisconsin today. These cases raise constitutional issues and prove massive fraud. Our plaintiffs have standing. We, the people, will not allow rigged elections. Sidney Powell has been preparing her massive case, a RICO case against Smartmatic and Dominion. The Kraken is being released. Sidney Powell just identified the names of 4 alleged co-conspirators who led the effort to rig the election. Powell is planning a massive RICO case against both Smartmatic and Dominion. She went on Lou Dobbs tonight, where Lou Dobbs has been doing a commendable job of covering these issues, where she released more information on the voting software and described this as a cyber Pearl Harbor. I think that's highly appropriate. According to Powell, her team has reams and reams of actual documents showing that Smartmatic and Dominion executed the entire coup. Sidney points out that George Soros, Lord Malik Brown, and the names you see below and many others were involved in the cyber Pearl Harbor attack. Meanwhile, here's a game-changing video showing that blank Georgia ballots were turned into votes using Dominion machines. This is pretty damn important. Remember, I've explained before that Dominion has a printer as a part of the computer system, and that the computer could print ballots. Well, now we have proof. 2 recently released videos reveal a possible method of voter fraud using Dominion system software filmed by a Georgia County election supervisor. The videos demonstrate serious security flaws where the company's machines, of course, were used in Georgia and other states, actually 30 of them altogether. Here we have a supervisor analyzing ballots that were unable to be scanned into Dominion machines. demonstrated, however, an election official can simply use Dominion software to process any ballot however he or she sees fit. All this is very significant. Now, I am really dumbfounded and distressed that the Supreme Court has rejected the Texas lawsuit challenging the Biden election in the four key states. Here is the report from the Supreme Court. This is the totality of their rejection stated, published Friday. Texas v. Pennsylvania et al. The state of Texas motion for leave to file a bill of complaint is denied for lack of standing under Article 3 of the Constitution. Texas has not demonstrated a judicially cognizable interest in the manner in which another state conducts its elections. All other pending motions are dismissed as moot. Statement of Justice Alito, with whom Justice Thomas joins. In my view, we do not have discretion to deny the filing of a bill of complaint in a case that falls within our original jurisdiction. See Arizona versus California of 2020. I would therefore grant the motion to file the bill of complaint, but would not grant other relief. And I express no view on any other issue. The case now seems to me to have a direct parallel with a Dred Scott decision by the Supreme Court on March 6 of 1857, which was a major contributing factor to the first American Civil War, where I now anticipate a second, that having lived in a free state and territory did not entitle an enslaved person, Dred Scott, to his freedom. In essence, the decision argued that, as someone's property, Scott was not a citizen and could not sue in a federal court. So here we have a denial of standing in relation to Dred Scott, and now we have another denial of standing in relation to the state of Texas. Sidney Powell has made an ominous report after the rejection. Sidney tweeted out a message telling Americans to pay attention to the emergency filing she made after the Supreme Court rejected the Texas case. She means business. We the people will not allow rigged election. The bottom line is Sidney Powell knows the truth and is like a dog on a bone to expose it. She wants to prove there was massive fraud in the 2020 elections. Meanwhile, Alan Dershowitz observed the Supreme Court just didn't want to get involved, which is disgusting beyond belief. Retired Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz said Friday's decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to turn away a lawsuit from Texas and then 17 others, but subsequently 21 other states, challenging the election results in four battleground states on the justification they didn't have standing, indicates the court just didn't want to get involved. Appearing on Newsmax TV's Stinchfield, Dershowitz agreed with Justices Alito and Thomas, who indicate that Texas did have standing, saying they get the better of the argument, but that the court just didn't want to deal with what may be perceived as political, which is, of course, completely absurd. Every issue that comes before the Supreme Court can be perceived as political because it is political. The Supreme Court is our mechanism for resolving political disputes. So this is completely outrageous. He continues, this Supreme Court decision sends a message. The majority, including the three justices appointed by President Trump, they all said, we're not going to hear the Texas case. We're not going to get involved in this election. Dershowitz adds, I think this sends a message. It's not a legal message, but a practical one. The Supreme Court is out of the game. I don't think that's going to happen now, but I was clearly mistaken in the past in my initial impression. The Texas case could be refashioned with Trump as a plaintiff to gain standing. The reason why the Texas case was so important is because since it was a case brought by one state against other states, the Supreme Court of the United States has original jurisdiction. What that means is it doesn't have to go through the lower courts to work its way up to the Supreme Court, where the lower courts would include a district or circuit courts, appellate courts, and the state Supreme Courts. where several cases now are being heard, and where Wisconsin, for example, is going to announce its Supreme Court finding at 11:59 Central Time, which I'll discover and report this second hour, just before the electors are to cast their ballots today. So Trump approved filing a retooled Texas-style election challenge where President Trump's legal team observes, we move immediately, seamlessly to Plan B, which is to bring lawsuits now in each one of the states. We had them ready. They're just a version of the one that was brought in the Supreme Court. So last night, the president made the decision, reported Rudy Giuliani on the War Room run by Steve Bannon. We know about the Texas team. Trump is now going to file suits, or has already, in the four states of Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan. The suits will incorporate allegations in the complaint filed by Texas, as well now as Arizona and Nevada. If the state doesn't have standing, surely the president has standing, and certainly the electors in the states have standing. So they will be bringing those very cases right in those courts starting today. And let's see what excuse they can try to use to avoid having a hearing on that. I'm completely outraged. I agree with Rudy Giuliani. This is outrageous what they are doing. The American people should have the benefit of hearing these facts, which have been kept from them. Not a single court decision has had a hearing yet. They haven't heard from a single witness. They haven't looked at a single tape. They haven't listened to a single recording. There are thousands of them. They haven't even bothered to look at the tape in Atlanta, Georgia, which is dispositive. It shows an ongoing voter theft of 30,000 votes, enough to change the election. Dozens of election-related lawsuits filed by Trump and others have been rejected by the courts. Some appealed, other suits still being decided, where the surveillance footage from State Farm Arena showed poll observers being led to believe that ballot counting was ending around 10:30 p.m. on election night. But once the observers and media left, a handful of workers resumed counting. Georgia officials have claimed nothing in the video was irregular, concluding observers simply left on their own while ignoring the verbal announcement that the counting was done for the night. According to certified counts in Georgia and five battleground states, the Democratic nominee, Biden, beat Trump. But, of course, this is all completely ridiculous. Now, Sydney has made an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court to immediately order the states to decertify their election results. She is fighting the good fight. Sidney Powell is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to immediately intervene in her lawsuits challenging the integrity and outcome of the 2020 election in four states. In her announcement Friday, Powell said she'd filed emergency requests to the nation's top court, asking the justices to order officials in Georgia, Michigan, and Arizona to immediately decertify their 2020 election results, where an emergency filing was also anticipated for Wisconsin. They aim to maintain the status quo in the states in order to give the Supreme Court time to consider the allegations presented in her lawsuits. These cases raise constitutional issues and prove massive fraud. Our plaintiffs have standing. We, the people, will not allow rigged election. The briefs indicate that Powell's legal team are preparing to file a petition for a writ of certiorari, or a request asking the high court to review lower court rulings that dismissed her lawsuits in the four states that were dubbed the Kraken. The lawyers have filed appeals to each of the state circuit courts, but due to looming deadlines, the teams will file a simultaneously appeal to the top court. Her announcement came on the same day the Supreme Court rejected Texas' request. And meanwhile, the electors are expected to meet on December 14th, which is today, at noon. The top court opined Texas did not have the legal standing, which is completely ridiculous, in my opinion, utterly indefensible, a great failure by the Supreme Court, which I believe is going to presage a second American Civil War. Palestine argued the lawsuits are part of an effort to expose and reverse an unprecedented multi-state conspiracy. They got it right. All these states and actors were taking these moves, these measures at the same time. Clear evidence that they were acting in concert, therefore a conspiracy to steal the 2020 election. While the plaintiffs have been characterized as conspiracy theorists by Democratic politicians and activists, they are ignoring the many eyewitnesses, whistleblowers, and expert witnesses coming forward with accounts and massive evidence of fraud. The 2020 general election was tainted by unconstitutional election fraud on a scale that has never been seen before, at least not in America. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, and I affirm it was indeed millions, of illegal, fraudulent, ineligible, or purely fictional ballots were cast for Biden, along with hundreds of thousands of Trump votes that were intentionally destroyed, lost, or switched to Biden, changing the outcome from a Biden loss to a Biden win. While no decision of this court can repair the fractures in our society, only a fair and open inquiry that allows the truth to be discovered can do so, for it is the truth that will set us free. Conversely, closing down any inquiry into the merits of the unconstitutional and illegal conduct in this election would be a slap in the face to millions of Americans who believe it was a stolen election. Our common bonds require answers on the merits, not procedural evasion. I agree with that 100%. And let me say, based upon the evidence available to me, it appears that Trump won with around 75 million legitimate votes, that Biden garnered at most 23 to 24 million, and the difference in excess of 50 million votes was made up by switching votes, destroying ballots, manufacturing ballots, completely outrageous. Meanwhile, Rush Limbaugh has sounded an ominous warning about the future of America. I actually think we're trending towards secession, he said on his Wednesday broadcast. There cannot be a peaceful coexistence of two completely different theories of life, theories of government, theories of how we manage our affairs. We can't be in this dire conflict without something giving somewhere along the way. I know there's a sizable and growing sentiment for people who believe that's where we're headed, whether we want to or not, whether we want to go there or not. Our problem is the fact there are just so many rhinos, so many Republicans in the Washington establishment who will do anything to maintain their membership in the establishment because of the perks and opportunities that are presented for their kids and so forth. I see more and more people asking, what in the world do we have in common with the people who say live in New York? What is there that makes us believe there's enough of us to have even a chance of winning in New York, especially if you're talking about votes? Now, the situation, we're in a situation where there isn't any media anymore. We don't have journalists anymore. There's no news. And if that's the case, where do you go? Where do you go to get news? If you're on the side of our side of the aisle and you know the mainstream media is nothing but the Democratic Party, nothing but the American left, it's nothing but a cattle call leadership of socialism, then where do you go to get news? Now, I don't think we're heading towards secession, but he certainly makes a point that he noted that his popularity and that of conservative media is a result of national mainstream abandoning its objective reporting of the news. And that's when the left began to lose their monopoly on everything. ABC, CBS, NBC, Washington Post, New York Times decided that playing at being objective and fair was not going to do it anymore. So they had to destroy the left. We even have Trump being hit with a decision where YouTube has declared that it's not going to allow any videos that provide evidence and testimony that Joe Biden only won the 2020 election through voter fraud. Here's David Rubin. Holy S-H-I-T, just got this email from YouTube. Starting today, they will remove content about election fraud. even though there are court cases about election fraud going through the system at this very moment. Audio's free speech. The bannings are coming. Let me observe that I'm convinced Israel is a major player here because Israel controls the mainstream media. I have a panel of 100 executives at CNN. All of them are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. I have another panel of 100 executives at NBC, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. I have a third panel of 100 executives at the New York Times, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. So, you know, Israel, I think, in spite of Trump's generosity in moving our embassy to Jerusalem, in declaring the Golan Heights to be a part of Israel, in defunding the Palestinian organization that assists Palestinian refugees, even, and in my opinion, most outrageously, by executive order redefining anti-Semitism to include any criticism of the government or the actions of the government of Israel, a blatant violation of our First Amendment right to freedom of speech, which was I have deplored in the strongest possible terms. Israel appears to want Trump out and Biden in for the reason that Trump has refused to bomb Iran. We have heard from many on the left that they were supporting Biden not because he was the best candidate, but because he was the most malleable and amenable to pressure. I believe Bibi views Biden the same way and is convinced that Biden can be pressured into bombing Iran. I know there are those on the left who expect there's going to be a return to the Iran nuclear deal. I did think that Trump was making a huge mistake in pulling out.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
You're what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time! When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
I find it especially reprehensible that Time magazine has declared Joe Biden Kamala Harris Time's 2020 Person of the Year. That's an honor that's supposed to go to the person who, for better or for worse, made the greatest difference in the world. And it clearly would have been Donald J. Trump, not Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. And the photograph they use in their report in identifying is not even the real Joe Biden, who is a deep state traitor and pedophile, but the actor Joe Biden, the comedy genius secretly saving America. I have a whole blog about this at jamesfetzer.org. Now, it's been picked up on the Twitter, and we had several different photographs. Charlie Ward's show just been on the Dem side and sent them this and this. That was the real Joe Biden versus the actor Joe Biden. We have Mr. Waycott saying Biden, not Biden, focusing in part on the ears. Here's Biff Ponchatrain replying, wow, what a difference. One has nice blue human eyes and one has cold dead fish eyes. Scary, the thought of what they really do to these people. Mind-controlled Manchurian candidate. There's really no doubt about them being two different people. Here's another tweet. Where has the real Joe gone? Here's another. To be Biden or not to be Biden, that is the question. Well, we have now a leaked video of Joe Biden reporting that the use of the phrase defund the police caused the party to be smoked all over the country. That's certainly appropriate, that Trump absolutely smoked them across the country, which is utterly consistent with the vote totals I've been reporting to you, rather than those that you're hearing from the mainstream media. Meanwhile, Biden admits that Harris is in charge. It's long been speculated that the relationship between assumed president-elect Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris is anything but ordinary, mainly because it seems Biden isn't really the one calling the shots. But this week, the seemingly dementia-prone senior actually admitted it in what he sought to pass off as a joke. Along with Harris, Biden made an appearance on CNN last week interviewing with the infamous Jake Tapper. Naturally, their relationship came up and was discussed. Both Biden and Harris agreed they are simpatico on both issues, such as their ideas on how to run the government and more. But like all relationships, there are, at times, disagreements. When this happens, Biden said the two work it out in private. However, he also noted that, much like his working relationship with his former boss and President Barack Obama, Biden tends to let the other rule the roots. He even stated he would rather resign and bow out of the Oval Office completely than risk getting into a knockdown with Harris, Biden told Tapper. Like I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign. Now, as mentioned before, the not-so-coherent leader attempted to play this off as a joke. He even wore a smile on his face. But neither Tapper nor Harris, not to mention the audience, knew precisely how to take this. And a rather awkward silence immediately ensued. One Twitter user explained, this is because Biden has a scary habit of accidentally telling the truth somewhere, like when he admitted they'd put together the greatest voter fraud operation ever in history. And I have to say, that appears to be spot on. Meanwhile, we have the reports about science being the hero in the global fight against the deadly virus. But this is completely ridiculous. Nothing about the COVID vaccine study remotely speaks to science. It's not based on science, and it contradicts scientific studies. We have a nurse showing that AstraZeneca vaccine contents include elements that will alter your DNA and that will sterilize women. We have additional reports that they include HIV. And of course, we know they're almost certainly going to include a microchip. Indeed, Catherine Austin Phipps has called this content injectables, not vaccine, not medicine. Therefore, it shouldn't properly qualify as a vaccination that's covered by the no liability clause. Right on the COVID-19 vaccine, AstraZeneca, it states that it includes CHADOX1-S recombinant. And if you check out recombinant DNA, that has the capacity to change your DNA. Meanwhile, the COVID test itself is a dangerous fraud. Copied and pasted from a frontline, a nurse practitioner speaking out on Facebook observes, basically, you would have to be brain dead already to submit. But judging from the number of people willingly restricting their oxygen intake, I'd say there are already many who are and are offering themselves up for this invasive procedure because it's not a test for COVID. It doesn't exist, which is, of course, debated, but I think it's very clear it's never been proven to exist separate from the whole family of COVID, where we have these remnants from having a cold or the flu that are contained in our body and our nasal passage. And where when the tests are used improperly, where the FDA recommends using it 40 cycles for the test, which is the equivalent of taking a Xerox and then Xeroxing the Xerox and Xeroxing the Xerox of the Xerox 40 times, you get a result that's guaranteed to be a false positive, where even Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci has acknowledged that if the test is using greater than 35 cycles, it cannot be assumed to give a reliable result. What the nurse practitioner observes, we are testing for two things: your submission to willingly have your body violated for the presence of finding fragments of previous cold remnants, not for COVID-19. This assault is dangerous. This information comes from my doctor colleagues. Brain access is through the nose. The test has another purpose than what the drug pushers say. Inserting a test bar deeply into the nose causes hemioencephalobarrier damage and can also damage endocrine glands, to spell it out. That's why testing hurts so much. The purpose of this deep violation is to break the barrier and create an entry into the brain for every infection. When marrying a mouth and nose mask, bacteria and CO2 are collected and transported to the brain through the nose channel. The barrier's task is to protect the brain from neurotoxins, heavy metals, bacteria, and other toxins. If endocrine glands are damaged, symptoms such as muscle weakness, blood circulation, visual disturbances, and such may develop. There is no legal basis for this physical intervention, and it is a mass violation of physical immunity. Wake up to the assault. You are being violated along with your rights. No wonder so many COVID survivors have long-term issues. Anyone would, after being subjected to this most sensitive body violation. Anyone who would submit to this needs to wake up. Meanwhile, in further demonstrating there's no science here, remember, science is based upon observation, measurement, and experiment. Well, the president of Tanzania actually went about being experimental with the COVID test kits that he was sent. President John Magufel of Tanzania stated that a pawpaw, that's a fruit like a mango, a goat and a quail tested positive for coronavirus in his country. He said this was after he secretly had a variety of animals, fruits, and vehicle oil tested at the National Laboratory. The president said this on Sunday, May 3rd, while questioning Tanzania's coronavirus cases. This was a very appropriate thing to have done, and he appears to have been completely in the right. I have a video of him talking about this that I want to share with you. It begins, "I am a science expert, and I know what I am saying. We took samples from goats. We took samples from sheep. We took samples from pawpaw. We even took samples from car oil. And we took samples from other different things. And we took the samples to the laboratory without them knowing. We even named all the samples from the car oil. Like the sample from the car oil, we named it Jabil Hamaza, 30 years old male. The results came back negative. We took a sample from a jackfruit at Uran. We named it Sarah Samuel, 45 years old female. The results came back inconclusive. We took samples from a pawpaw. We named it Elizabeth Ann, 26 years old, female. The results from the pawpaw came back positive that it has corona. That means the liquid from the pawpaw is positive. We took samples from a bird type called cowhare. The results came back positive. We took samples from a rabbit. The results came back indeterminate. We took samples from a goat, and the results came back positive. We took samples from a sheep, and it came back negative. And so on and so on. So now when you see this, you have taken the samples and say they are human, and the results come back positive that they have corona, that means all the pawpaws should be in isolation also. So when you take goat samples and they are also positive, that means all the goats that we have here by assumption, or maybe the goat with the sample that was taken should also be in isolation. And when you take the jackfruit Duran and it's also positive, that liquid from the jackfruit or Duran, which we named it Elizabeth, meaning Elizabeth the jackfruit Duran, that means all the jackfruits Duran should be in isolation also. So when you notice something like this, you know there's a dirty game played in these tests. That there are unbelievable things happening in this country. Either the laboratory workers in there are bought by people with money, either they are not well educated, which isn't true, because this laboratory is used for other diseases. Either the samples which are brought in, because the reagents are imported, because even the swabs are also imported. So it's a must that something is actually going on. Now even the pawpaw samples are positive. They have corona. So who, the World Health Organization, really do something big about these things? And even the goats have corona. And if they hadn't realized that corona affects humans or goats, and it also affects trees, so scientists haven't done even research on this matter. So there are several people, through the extra information I have here, there must be people who were told they are positive, whether or not really corona patients. And some might even die from worry. The pawpaw, it's there. It's not dead. And it's just there getting ripe. The goat is also just around. It's not even dead. The jackfruit Duran, it's there. Maybe it will just rot after it has, but all those are positive and more other things. So I am giving advice to Tanzanians. Don't worry. For those who aren't tired and not injured in any way, why should you worry? The floor has always been there, but this is just more advanced. This shall also pass. But the issue of finding out even a pawpaw has corona, it's inside the pawpaw, not in its outside. Because if the samples were taken from the outer layer, they would have said it's dangerous for someone who touched the pawpaw to have coronavirus, but they took the samples with the right specification and inserted the swab inside the pawpaw. They might say someone went inside the goat and gave it corona. But a goat to have corona, a jackfruit to have corona, a pawpaw to have corona, a bird like a cowboy to have corona. There must be several questions to ask ourselves. We as Tanzanians, but also the whole world in Africa, we must ask ourselves about this whole issue of the virus. There must be something that isn't understood well by Tanzanians and to the scientific community. It might not be well understood by the whole world, but I'm giving advice to the ones who are using this equipment, especially in Africa. Take samples from different animals. Take samples from anything, even a wall, even a lizard. Take a sample of anything. They are going to prove all that I'm saying. I am a science expert, and I know what I'm saying. This work was done by people who are really qualified. I am urging Tanzanians. We are still at the elementary stage. Let's not panic. Let's continue to work hard. Production should continue and on a huge scale. We should not put fear on each other. And politicians should stop using this as an agenda. As Tanzanians, we should not accept to be used. Corona is not Tanzanians everywhere. It's in the United States, in England, Sweden, Holland, everywhere. It's in Japan and China, everywhere. Now they should not use this as a base. First of all, this disease did not start here in Tanzania. Let's stand strong. Let's unite. Let's put God first. Let's work hard. We should not be afraid of each other. We should help each other. We can solve this problem together. For those who are trying to do nonsense things like the things I just said, that even a pawpaw has corona, the type of bird has corona, the goat has corona, in a scientific approach, people really have to work hard. I'm asking our specialists in universities, in the University of Dar es Salaam, all universities, any MRI, this is the right time to work hard and show your integrity in doing research during this period. I'm really sure about the head of this laboratory, if he really knows, because we didn't tell him. He tested samples thinking they were samples from humans. But why didn't he do the trials in the initial days so he could justify the test kits that he was using? There are so many nonsense things going on here. Let me just say, this demonstrates the fraudulence of the entire effort taking place here. We also have a fruit blend that was picked up at a grocery store testing positive, and the situation is even worse. That mask is giving you lung cancer. Listen to this from Guy Crittenden, who for 25 years edited the trade journal Hazmat Management. I happen to know a thing or two about masks and safety. Why? Because for 25 years, I was the editor of an award-winning trade magazine called Hazmat Management that covered such topics as pollution, prevention, and compliance with health and safety laws. We routinely published articles on masks, gloves, respirators, and other forms of personal protective equipment, PPE. Now, let me tell you a few things about that mask you're wearing. Please note what I'm about to share was also stated in a recent edition of Dell Big Trees program. A high wire when two OSHA mask experts spoke to the fact that the kinds of masks people are wearing were never, never designed to be worn for long periods, and doing so is very harmful. The blue typical mask depicted in the photograph contains Teflon and other chemicals. A Facebook friend reminds us, one, masks are sterilized with ethylene oxide, a known carcinogen. Many teachers and various school boards have been experiencing significant symptoms as a direct result of the effects of this chemical, too. The masks contain, not sprayed with, PTFE, which makes up Teflon, along with other chemicals I found and have posted the U.S. patent to allow manufacturers to use PTFE as a filler in commercial masks. Quote, breathing these for extended periods can lead to lung cancer. Don't agree? Argue with the expert at OSHA, which is the main U.S. agency, Occupational Health and Safety Agency. These masks are meant to be worn for only short periods. Say, if you're sanding a table for an hour, don't want to inhale sawdust. They don't do anything whatsoever to stop the spread of any virus. And the emerging science of virology now understands that viruses aren't even passed person to person. I know that sounds incredible, but it's the case that the virus is in the air. You breathe it in. There's no way to prevent that short of living in an oxygen tent. And if you have a strong immune system, you'll be fine. And if you have a weak immune system, you may have to deal with the effects of your immune system working to restore balance within your metabolism. So let's say you don't wear the blue package mask and instead wear a homemade cloth mask, the kind people wear over and over and hang on their rearview mirror and such. Those masks are completely useless against a virus and are also very dangerous. OSHA would never condone a person wearing a mask of this kind for anything more than the shortest time. Rebreathing your own viral debris is dangerous to health. The oxygen deprivation children suffer wearing such masks all day will certainly cause brain damage. I'm not making this up. Again, you might say, well, Guy, you're not a doctor. True, but I did edit that magazine for 25 years. That's a long time. And many articles on masks and PPE. I've attended numerous OSHA conferences, listened to experts discussing these matters. You may hear people say that surgeons and nurses wear masks like this all day. No, they don't. They're trained in the proper use of masks, which is to wear them in the OR, then dispose of the mask when you leave the room. Are you aware that operating rooms are actually supplied extra oxygen to compensate for the reduction in oxygen flow for mask wearing? To my mind, it's criminal. This is not hyperbole to force children to wear masks all day. Setting aside the very real psychological effects, we're going to have a generation of brain damaged children. Ever heard the expression, not enough oxygen at birth? That's a joke at the expense of a mentally challenged person, but that's literally what we're doing. And we're told it's to keep us safe. We're told this by doctors who actually don't know about PPE and lay people who have no clue. So you can choose to believe me or not. But I was the editor for a quarter century of a magazine that had a strong occupational health and safety mandate. And I can tell you that the mask wearing currently mandated by governments and private businesses offers no health benefits whatsoever, in no way protects you or anyone else from a virus, and actually does you damage beyond wearing it for a few minutes. Got that? Good. Now, please share this message and get the conversation going with parents who must end this masking of children immediately. This is a very serious matter. And related to that, let me just state, this doesn't end for me when the lockdown ends and the masking ends. No, this ends for me when every politician and bureaucrat who inflicted this travesty, this crime against humanity, on the population of Canada and the United States, for example, is in the dock and faces their misdeeds in a court of law. And for those of you who put masks on young children, I have a long memory on that score, a very long memory. All of this reinforces my concern that we're killing ourselves slowly, and that wearing masks, the lockdown, social distancing are among the mechanisms that are being used to take the United States from a population in 2020 of 326,620,000 to a population of 99,563,100 in 2025. In 5 years, the U.S. population, according to Deagle.com, is going to drop, be diminished, killed off to the tune of $230 million. How is that going to happen? It's pretty obvious what's going on here. Let me add, the betrayal is now complete. The SCOTUS dismissal of the Texas lawsuit illuminates the final remaining option to save the republic. Tonight, the Supreme Court chose to dismiss a Texas lawsuit for lack of standing. The court did not hear the merits of the case, nor did it decide on them. It simply declared that Democrat-controlled states can rig elections, commit ballot fraud, cheat, and steal whatever they want, even if their actions are wildly unfair to the other states, which are impacted by the outcome of federal elections. As of tonight, December 11th, 2020, and this is coming from the health ranger, Mike Adams, we no longer live in a functioning constitutional republic. There is no longer any controlling legal authority functioning in America. Even the death of Ginsburg, it seems, was not enough to lend the court a majority of jurors who might choose to uphold the rule of law. The rule of law has now collapsed. The courts no longer even pretend to function. Censorship is extreme. The print media brazenly lies, and the elections are so blatantly rigged that cheating is carried out on camera for all to see. The very last American is apparently powerless to stop the election theft. For all the forces that despise this nation, hate liberty and justice, are now aligned against any functioning civil court action that might recognize and reverse the great injustices that have been carried out against this nation by Democrats and deep state traitors. Yet despite overwhelming, irrefutable evidence of blatant election rigging, fraud, and foreign interference, local judges are too corrupt to hear the cases, district courts are too corrupt to decide on cases, and the highest court in the land is too corrupt to even grant the case legal standing. America has been plunged into lawlessness by the U.S. Supreme Court. There is no coming back from the path of emerging history that SCOTUS has just set into motion, and this path will be slathered with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Every peaceful option to resolve this election has now been exhausted. The remaining options will all involve kinetic engagement. America will now bleed. This is certain.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
The This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, let me tell you what's going on here. We have the casting of the Electoral College votes, and you got monsters like Wolf Blitzer claiming that the Trump administration's efforts to overturn the will of the voters have been unsuccessful heretofore. Let me just say how monstrous that is. When you have a stolen election, you're manifesting anything but the will of the voters. It's exactly the antithesis. I have just learned from Rolf Lindgren that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has agreed with the Trump campaign that the indefinitely confined voters, those who provided no ID or form of verification, were illegitimate votes. What action they may take, however, remains to be seen. Nevertheless, I want to give you the opportunity to call in to discuss all of this. But I have one more story to report. 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call. Let me share this. This is about as perfect a summing up of the situation as I see it as I could imagine. There will be blood. By Matt Bracken, December 12th. The impossible situation that the non-politician outsider Donald Trump found himself in was that he had to fight all of the dem-so rats and at least half of the GOP. Nominally Republican Governor Kemp in Georgia is a classic example. Early in 2020, he signed a $110 million contract to buy 30,000 Chinese-made fraud-o-matic vote-switching machines, placing them in every Georgia precinct. He reportedly inked the contract 2 weeks after he visited the Chinese Communist Party spy nest in Houston, and that was recently forced to close. It's safe to assume family kickbacks were involved. Kemp, this Republican attorney general and Republican lieutenant governor, do not want their financial connection with the Chinese Communist Party revealed. This Georgia corruption was endangered by swamp drainer Trump and will be protected by Beijing Biden. Trump lost Georgia and with a few other corrupt states, he lost the White House. What happened in Georgia was a classic example of Trump's dilemma. Like Republican Brian Kemp, half the GOP goes into politics for the legal family grab, happy to play the designated losers, a.k.a. the Washington generals, to the dim so-rat globetrotters who are assigned by the overall system to win majorities. Witness the sellout consent decree election deal the Georgia GOP made with Stacey Abrams, which guaranteed a rat victory, and the unexamined continuance of the GOP graft machine. The GOP grifters want the graft without the hassles and accusations of being part of systemic white racism and so on, thus are eager to roll over on their backs for the damn so-rat shot callers. Hunter and Joe Biden were not unique. They are typical of both sides of the political aisle, if a bit flagrant in their grifting. You can't give an American politician $1 million, heaven forfend. That's a bribe. But you could give it to his son or his brother after creating a fictitious job for him. Then he buys a couple of mansions and lets you live in them. Great work if you can get it. And you can only get it by becoming a made member of the ruling elite. Trump upset this legalized political graft formula. So he had 70. Stand by while I complete. He had 75% of Washington out to bury him from day one. All of the rats and half of the GOP, impossible math to overcome. And it's not only the politicians, it's the bureaucrats, generals, admirals, Intel and DOJ bosses, leading academics and top mainstream media figures. Our ruling class elites are all in on the scam, moving through a continuously revolving door of doing political favors, switching jobs, and obtaining seven-figure financial rewards, all while protecting one another. Plus getting their undeserved brats into the Ivy League schools and then up into the ruling class nomenclatura. Chelsea Clinton was not unique. She was just a high-profile example. Please examine the career paths of James Comey, Eric Holder, and Loretta Lynch that saw them hopping between the DOJ over to corporate payoff do-nothing jobs for millions per year at the very same grifting corporations they oversaw while working at the DOJ, then over to top-level dem so rat law firms for millions for more for no work, then back over to the federal government as DOJ or FBI bosses. So it's very cozy for our ruling class nomenclatura elites. In each position, they do favors for their friends and push their mutual enemies. It's the polite but all-encompassing American version of Plomo o Plata. In Mexico, the new mayor gets a visit from a cartel gangster with a suitcase full of money. It's open on the new mayor's desk, and there's a loaded MAC-10 on top of the cash. Plomo o Plata, lead or steel. Play ball with a corrupt machine, or the corrupt machine will bury you. Donald Trump threatened this entire legalized graft arrangement with his efforts to drain the swamp. And in return, he got the so far non-kinetic but very real plomo of all political and propaganda gun barrels fired at him from every player in this profoundly rotten system. I don't need to run down the bill of particulars. It is familiar to all, right up to the election stolen in front of our faces. So the swamp won for now. And if the election math was bad in 2020, considering the now SCOTUS-approved use of CHICOM fraud-o-matic vote-switching machines, plus truckloads of bogus mail-in ballots with no witnesses at the county, then just imagine 2022, when 20 million at least illegal aliens will be amnestized and given a damn-so-rat voter registration card on the same day. The implicit deal will be vote-rat, and the rats will welcome the rest of your foreign family into the USA with no hassles. Thus, the rolling dem-so-rat snowball becomes an unstoppable avalanche. This is how the Golden State became one-party Calizuela in one generation. Motor voter at the DMV for all comers, no questions asked, ever. And this is how America will become Amerizuela. This is a proven dem-so-rat playbook being exported to America. But patriotic Americans will not calmly accept becoming powerless serfs Amerizawalens under an obviously fraudulent POTUS in the form of the senile and soon-to-be-gone Beijing Biden and his VP, soon-to-be POTUS, Kamala Harris. It has become glaringly obvious even to a blind man that these two grifting non-entities were illegitimately installed at the top of the American power pyramid by our bipartisan ruling class nomenclatura to protect their beloved swamp. Patriots will not accept this election theft and the socialist tyranny that is sure to follow if it is left unchecked. There will be blood. We have callers here. Bruce from Texas. Paul, Bruce from Texas, go ahead, join the conversation.
Hey, okay, here we go. You ready? Okay.
Everybody knows that machines were loaded. Everybody votes with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the election's over. Everybody knows the winner lost. Everybody knows the game is fixed. The newsman says fraud only exists. That's how it goes. And everybody knows.
That's all.
That's good, Bruce. Hey.
You're being too kind. That sucked.
Yeah, go ahead.
Man, I'm in my car. What can I do? Real quick, how about the people getting that syndrome where their face gets paralysis, Bell syndrome, from the vaccine? Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have. Yes, I've heard of multiple cases. Yes, very bad. And mind
very
you,
bad.
Yeah. Mind you, I mean, taking the vaccine is insanity. You do not want to do it. You absolutely do not. Avoid it at all possible costs. Let me bring in Paul. Go ahead, Paul. Give us some of your thoughts to begin with.
Well, that is in particular caused by, in the main, the aluminum in the vaccines. In fact, I would highly recommend to anybody on this call that I've mentioned this film before online called Are You Crooked? By Forrest Moretti. It's 2 hours. He's actually got a little website too, but anybody who hasn't seen that, the Are You Crooked? I highly recommend it. It's one of the better of all the different vaccine documentaries that I've seen, and he gets into exactly what occurs. But it's basically it's a nerve or neurological damage, and it actually tends to affect young boys and men a little bit more than women. So anyway, having said that, what the hell can be said here, Jim? I predicted it, but I don't have a crystal ball. You know, it's what we're looking at is I've known for a long time now. Is fraud at every single level of society, every time you turn the corner. I've made this contention on other places as well, that the law, so-called the law, is not really real, okay? It's not a real thing like a 2x4 or a wrench and a nut and a bolt, okay? It's total bullshit. You've had a little taste of it, okay? The idea that somebody doesn't have standing is the most absurd thing in the world. These courts exist to hear evidence and to resolve controversy. And what I discovered with my own little journey into the law is just a little bit more than it's all bullshit. The bottom line is that they do everything they can to prevent a case being heard by a jury. As I mentioned before, in consulting an attorney here locally to talk about some of the stuff that I want to do, he told me flat out that in this county, only 5 or 6% of cases ever see a courtroom. Okay, 90% plus are resolved outside of the court, and that's the way they like it. That's the way they want it. Your case was prevented from going in front of a jury. my case, just some little thing I had out here a few years ago, was prevented from going in front of a jury. And I naively thought, well, if I just get all my ducks in a row, I get my facts, I get the law, I get so-called evidence, then this is a done deal. Okay. Well, boy, did I learn a lesson. And I should have already known from what I'd already seen before with my own traffic cases before that and helping other people with their so-called traffic cases. They ignore the law when it suits them, and they apply it to you when it suits them. And that's the way it works, period, end of story. We don't need a Supreme Court. We need a Supreme Jury, okay? We should have juries, not judges. If I was running the show, all these black robes would be digging ditches and picking fruit, doing something useful for society. We don't need any super experts to interpret the law or interpret reality for us. Again, I've said this before, the only way forward is to smash all this stuff to smithereens with a wrecking ball. And if it was me, I would probably burn all the law books and start over, because the law is a fairly simple concept and it came to us from England under the common law. And that's all we've ever needed. Instead, we have this Talmudic, what I call labyrinth of statutes. And it's all nonsense. Thanks.
Well, yeah, I owe you a crisp $20 bill because I predicted the court would not only take the case, but would rule 9-0 in favor of the plaintiff. What has happened here is a great disgrace. My parallel with Dred Scott, I think, is highly appropriate. I see no way in which we're going to avoid a civil war. Things are already getting out of control. It's going to get much worse very fast. The one alternative that might save the day, as it were, would be if the president were to invoke the Insurrection Act and perhaps require a revote with paper ballots and hand counts under the supervision of the military. But absent that, it seems to me that the patriots, I mean, look, Donald Trump won this thing by 50 million votes. Patriots aren't going to stand for this. And to impose a Joe Biden, that's not even the real Joe, who's going to immediately issue executive orders to constrain our access to weapons. What we have to understand is every day that Biden Harris are in office, he grows stronger, they grow stronger, we grow weaker. So there is, in my opinion, no alternative but to take the initiative here. And we have to, this has to be given good thought. I believe the militias have been thinking these things through, but the parties who have stolen the United States from Americans deserve the most serious punishment that can be inflicted. I agree that we should all in principle adhere to due process, but we have given no due process, not even by the Supreme Court of the United States, whom I condemn as cowards and gutless and traitors to the nation. That the fact that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Barrett would not take this case to me is an ultimate insult. The whole point of the Supreme Court is to be an arbiter of political disputes within the community in a peaceful, nonviolent fashion. They have abdicated their role in that responsibility. But I tell you, this is not the end. This is only the beginning of what may well prove to be the bloodiest period in American history by far, by far. First, Paul, and then I'll go back to Bruce.
Yeah, well, just for the fun of it, I was working up what my personal Supreme Court would look like after I got rid of all these traitors. So, first of all, let's go with Clint Eastwood, Chuck Norris, Charlton Heston from the grave, James Woods for his extremely solid work on Twitter, Ted Nugent, if nothing more, just for the fact that he was once known as the Motor City Madman. How about Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, from the grave? We're going to go ahead and also take Dr. William Pierce. For women, let's put in there Cynthia McKinney and also Jenna Ellis, because she's just such a badass, and Chief Justice Adolf Hitler. Now, you know, you might say to me, well, Paul, this is absurd. How can people who are already deceased to serve on the Supreme Court? Well, if people that are dead can vote, then people that are in the grave can certainly make rulings from the Supreme Court. So there you go. That's my little comedic relief for the day.
Well, you make a nice point. Let me see if we can identify some of the principal players who have brought this upon the United States. Obviously, Anthony, Tony the Rat, Fauci, Bill Gates, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama. You know, I mean, this is a very partial beginning list of some of the players here who have made a difference in this monster fraud upon the United States. It's going to work its all the way up to the Rothschilds in the UK and their, you know, subordinates here. Henry Kissinger, undoubtedly. Maybe, I mean, I'm very worried about the role of Bill Barr in all of this because he appears to have been a cop-out, a phony and a fraud. And I'm very distressed to say that because heretofore I have thought and hoped that he was actually going to be a good guy and do something beneficial to the for the country. But I think this piece by Mark Bracken, There Will Be Blood, does a masterful job of summing up the situation we're in and with which I agree 100%. I'm convinced now there will be blood, and it's going to be very serious indeed. So I want to recommend to everyone out there within the sound of my voice, stock up on supplies while you can. Another technique that appears to be in play here is cutting off the food supply. So you want to, if you possibly can, stock in supplies a couple of months' worth. I know it's not always going to be what you might be your favorite ingredients. Be sure, if you don't already know how to use a weapon, you have to learn how to use a weapon. Because remember, it was already the case that the police, on the average, could take as long as 20 minutes to respond to an emergency call. You're calling them because they have guns to defend you because you don't during that delay, since most of the mayhem happens in the first 5 or 6 minutes. Your daughter may have been raped, your wife murdered, you may have been mugged. You have to be able to defend yourself. That whole program of defund the police is really to weaken the ability of the American people to defend themselves from marauders, rioters, looters, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the criminals the Democrats are letting out of jails and prisons on the ground to avoid the coronavirus, which is totally fraudulent. And I say, look, if the president of Tanzania can figure out this whole coronavirus is a complete fraud, surely Anthony Fauci, Tony the Rat, could have done so, except, of course, he revealed already back in 2017 when he predicted that Donald Trump would not only have to deal with the seasonal flu and HIV, but a surprise pandemic, that he was involved in the planning. Otherwise, how could he have known it was coming in 2017? And since he is the official in the government that is supposed to prepare to cope with pandemics, why did he not do so? That man is number one on my list for the firing squad to hang after we give the guilty bastard a fair trial. And by the way, there's a very common misunderstanding here. The whole purpose of a trial is a form of formal certification of an individual's guilt of a crime before the state is entitled to punish them. They are guilty or innocent of the crime insofar as they did or did not commit it. Tony Fauci is guilty of the most massive crimes against the United States. The question is whether he would ever appear in a court of law so that the state could, through the process of through a due process trial, find him guilty of those offenses and thereby be legally entitled to impose a loss of property, liberty, or life. In his case, obviously, the death penalty is an act of extreme kindness. And I say similar things for Bill Gates, Henry Kissinger, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, and a host of others who are equally deserving of the ultimate penalty. Paul. Then I'll go again to Bruce.
Well, you go ahead, because you said that before. You said Paul.
Yeah, Bruce, go ahead. Mitchell, you're welcome to join in the conversation if you have some thoughts, and I have no doubt you do, but that's your choice, Mitchell. Otherwise, Paul and I will continue our conversation, and of course, I welcome anyone who'd like to join us to call in the number 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. Bruce, if you're still with us, join the conversation.
So I'm ready if he's not. I might have given up.
Let it roll.
So long there.
Let it roll.
So this is from the actual court decision that I've referenced several times before out here in California. Okay, and I think it's relevant to what has occurred, with the Supreme Court and these other court cases, because I believe here was a judge, just a Superior Court judge, that had courage for taking on this case and ruling the way she did. So that anybody who wants to see it, the title of the case is Gallagher and Kylie versus Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom was sued in his official capacity as governor of the state of California. So again, it's James Gallagher and Kevin Kylie versus Gavin Newsom out here in Superior Court, Sutter County. So one of the things that was interesting is most of the court case, it seems to be, was about this California Emergency Services Act that Newsom was allegedly operating under. And the language is quite clear because they reprint some of the language, especially from Section 8567 of this CESA, California Emergency Services Act, where basically he has the power to make these regulations and do these things, but only to state agencies. Now, it's very cleverly written so that if you didn't really know how to actually understand the way these things are constructed, you might think that he has power outside of these agencies, but he actually does not. And when you actually read it correctly and the court does its job in interpreting it correctly, that Newsom doesn't have any power to amend or to create new statutory law. And that's essentially what he was accused of by these plaintiffs. And the court ruled in their favor. Now, just for the fun of it, I'm going to read this brief section because I think it's important. All right. Here's what it says. Governor's unilateral implementation of state employee furloughs under a declared fiscal emergency was in excess of his authority. And that's just one of the things. And then here, quote, the separation of powers doctrine limits the authority of each one of the three branches of government to its core functions that are separate from the other branches.
Okay, Paul, hold that thought. We're going to a break. Okay.
All right.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host,
Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Paul, go right ahead now with your further thoughts after the break. You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. And I hope this is not too dry. I was kind of setting it up, but I'm going to get to some good stuff here, I promise, because the decision is only 9 pages. It's not that long. But here's one of the things that it basically puts forth here. So, for example, this is the heading of different sections. So on the issue of whether plaintiffs are entitled to declaratory relief, the court's decision is that plaintiffs are entitled to declaratory relief. An actual controversy exists relating to legal rights and duties. And so this speaks to the heart of the matter of what was going on here with the Supreme Court or all these other cases where they probably found, and I don't know the particulars of any of these cases, but they probably found some arcane reason, okay, or some so-called fundamental legal principle to rule one way or the other or to not rule one way or the other. So this is the line I want to get across. Here it is. A court may resolve a concrete dispute that is before it in a declaratory relief action when the consequences of a decision would be lingering uncertainty in the law, particularly if there is widespread public interest in the answer to the particular legal question. Now, that's in this 8-page decision out here in California. Now, I ask you, is there widespread public interest in the answer to a particular legal question in all these cases? So again, just real quickly, here's this line, which I love right in this decision. A court may resolve a concrete dispute that is before it in a declaratory relief action when the consequences of the decision would be lingering uncertainty in the law, particularly if there's widespread public interest in the answer to the particular legal question. So this is that court's way of saying that this court has every business, every right to make a decision or a ruling in this matter. So then she goes on to state quite clearly, here it is. Executive Order N6720, which is the one particular order they brought, which, by the way, is one of these orders Gavin Newsom ordered trying to change the election laws here in California about mail-in ballots, which is a separate story. It's not the only thing to bear in this case, but it was the key component. So here's what she says. This order issued by the governor on June 3, 2020, is void as an unconstitutional exercise of legislative power and shall be of no further force or effect. How's that? Is that strong enough for you? Now let's go on. On the issue of whether plaintiffs are entitled to injunctive relief, the court's decision is injunctive relief is proper. And then here's what it says. The evidence persuades the court it is reasonably probable that the governor will continue issuing executive orders which amend statutory law or create legislative policy under the purported authority of the California Emergency Services Act. thereby violating the California Constitution and the rights of the plaintiff thereunder. So think about what she just said there. And by the way, I don't need to tell everybody, but I will. These orders are the same as a new law. Okay, when the governor issues an order, it's under the law. It's treated as if the governor is making law. So this judge is basically saying the governor cannot make a law. So here's the bold ruling right here. The court finds good cause to issue a permanent injunction consistent with the request set forth in paragraph 21 of plaintiff's complaint as follows. And then here it is. This is the ruling, last page. Gavin Newsom, in his official capacity as governor of the state of California, is enjoined and prohibited from exercising any power under the California Emergency Services Act, which amends, alters, or changes existing statutory law or makes new statutory law or legislative policy. Boom. Done. That's it. She signed it and dated it. So what's going on? Obviously, these mayors, these governors, all these different people are essentially ignoring actual law, actual constitution, and court decisions at this point.
Yeah, Paul, it's just egregious. The violations of law involved here are stunning indeed. Stunning indeed.
And I just wanted to read it because, you know, I've mentioned the decision before, but I just read excerpts from it. And I talked about how he was permanently enjoined. And in other parts of the decision, like I said, it's only 8 pages, but there's a lot there. They go on to talk about all these orders he's just come out with, right? And how essentially the California Emergency Services Act authorizes none of them. It's very clear in this ruling that the CESA, as they call it, doesn't grant the governor any authority to make law even in an emergency. And that's the language right in there where they say even in an emergency. And of course, we all know there's no emergency. It's a fake emergency. It's your typical Jew emergency is what it is. Nonsense.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, you know, this is a failure of the American judicial system. I really do believe that the circumstances in this country today are analogous to those that obtained in the 1800s that brought about our then Civil War, and that I'm telling you, with high probability, I predict that's what's going to happen here. Paul, what is your assessment?
I don't know, to be honest with you. And if I was to say this wasn't really affected me, you know, I'd be lying. Most elections in the past, I've laughed at and scoffed at and mocked, and they didn't really have an effect on my life. And this doesn't really have an effect so much as just the emotional toil. I'm riding the same kind of up and down waves that everybody else is. I don't have a lot of invested in Trump, to be honest, but the election fraud and all the principles involved are, of course, a separate issue from Trump's persona or personality and who he really is. I'm extremely angry, not just uncomfortable. I'm extremely angry at him becoming a vaccine pimp, because that's what he's doing. He's a vaccine pimp now. And if you saw this little 3-minute-plus clip where he talked about, oh, you know, only his administration could get done what they got done in 9 months, you know, and they're gonna expedite the vaccine out to the healthcare workers and to the people in these these care facilities, our seniors who need it the most. He actually said that shit. So to me, this is a much bigger, broader picture. You know, Trump's a personality involved in it. But I'm sure, like you, do not like his pimping the vaccine, which really makes me furious.
I'm having a very difficult time dealing with that, Paul. I'm convinced that Barron, his own son, suffered adverse effects from a prior vaccination himself. I cannot imagine any reason he should be in support of it. I think he has to. I don't see an alternative to invoking the Insurrection Act unless the courts were suddenly to be responsive to Sidney Powell's request. I mean, today we have the electors casting these totally illegitimate votes in favor of the Biden-Harris. It's monstrous. It's just monstrous. I am completely appalled.
I am in agreement with you about his son. And as a matter of fact, there's actually a pretty good article right now on Renegade Tribune that contrasts the sort of things that Trump said before. Okay, and this is way more than I think it was back in 2007 or 2008, if I'm not mistaken. So much longer than 10 years ago. But I can't know what and why Trump, is what's going on with him and the stance with the shots. I mean, he's got to know, which again just makes him, in my opinion, less of a man, because there's no compromise in somebody like you. And I like to think the same about myself. I mean, I spent my whole life, in many cases, spitting in people's eye when I felt I was right. And it cost me in many cases, and it's cost me recently with this whole mask thing. I mean, I've lost acquaintances, friends, jobs, and so on and so forth. And, the average person can make the argument, well, wouldn't it be easier if you just, wore the mask? I mean, I talked to a lawyer pretty early on after I got fired from Safeway, and he actually said to me over the phone, he goes, well, I understand where you're coming from, but don't you think it would have been better advice to just to wear the mask and keep your job? A frickin' lawyer said that to me. I was so pissed at him. It's like, no, I don't. Okay, that's why I called you. But this is a mentality that's developing out there. You know, just cooperate. Yeah. Cooperate and get along. Don't give up your paycheck. You know, don't give up your, avoid conflict at all costs. Early on, I did not like the idea of walking into these stores and getting embroiled in some little, battle with somebody about a mask. And there was parts of me that wanted to avoid it and just put the mask on for a few minutes. But I just couldn't, and I made myself. And now, to be honest with you, a lot of times I look forward to the controversy. You know, I look forward to trying to either tell somebody what the score is or educate them a little bit, or if I need to, just to, butt heads with them. And it's not a position that I wanted, but there it is. And this is the position that we have to have real leaders take. And I think the American people are sick of what they're seeing. If nothing else, I think this might be good for us in the long run, because it will finally come to pass that, the Wizard of Oz has been exposed. Okay, the curtain's been pulled back. We know it's all bull. He was never going to give us any courage or a heart or brains. Okay, and it's all a big damn lie. And I feel like that there's so many movie metaphors out there to be had. And on the one hand, I feel like it's Bill Paxton in Aliens, where he says, I don't know if you've been paying attention to current events here, but we just got our asses kicked. It's game over, man. It's over. Or maybe John Belushi in Animal House, where he says, nothing is over till we say it's over. You know, I vacillate back and forth, because that's the position we've been put in.
Yes, yes, Paul, I agree. I'd like to invite Mitchell to join the conversation, if he's so inclined. Mitchell? Oh, who do we have?
Hello, Jim. Yeah, Chicago Brew just joined us. I was, I wanted to tell everybody that if you haven't been watching in Atrium, Michigan, where the votes were flipped for Biden, Trump votes.
Yeah.
They have found that the adjudication logs and some of the security logs are missing, and they had to be manually removed, they claim, because the logs for previous years are there, but not for this year. So that's just another anomaly of the fix.
Yeah, it's just so egregious. It's so in our face. Well, welcome, Brew. Welcome to the conversation. Give us your thoughts, my friend.
Well, I just thought maybe, Paul, wouldn't it be better just to be sexually assaulted and keep your mouth shut so you can keep your job rather than say anything? Come on, Paul.
Yeah, precisely.
I think I'm given this choice. Do I take the vaccine or a hot dose of fentanyl? I think I'm going to go with the fentanyl.
Brew, what's your take on the Supreme Court's failure to accept the case from Texas, which I find completely outrageous, indefensible? I mean, I'm damning the Supreme Court for its failure, which may lead to a civil war here that will involve the deaths of hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of American citizens that could have been circumvented had they only taken the case before them, as was completely appropriate. Your thoughts?
I don't have many thoughts. I think this is all a big game that's being played out. And if it is going to go in our favor at some point in time, I think there's a huge process, and they never expected you know, just going through whatever they've been doing. It's like going through the motions. We got to go through the motions in order to get, you know, to get that out of the way and like a stepping stone type of thing. You know, I mean, I hear all these other people. It says we're winning. Things are happening. That's starting today. Things are going to get ramped up even more because obviously time is running out. So I really don't know. I don't react to these things. Like, you know, there's not too much thought. Oh, look what they did. No, you know what? All right. That's fine. I hear it. I heard it from a couple different sources. Now let's see what else is going on, because I'm hearing all sorts of things from all different things, Chinese and Canada, bunker bombs, F-16s being knocked out of the sky, all sorts of stuff I'm hearing. And you know what? We're just going to ride it out, because really it's none of this is in our control until we have to make it in our control. Good.
Good points. Good points. Mitchell, your thoughts too, similar to Bruce?
Well, I take everything. How should I say it? I guess I've been Alex Jones desensitized to all the hype.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you got to roll with the punches, and you know you can't let the conspiracy ideas in your head get too far out in front of the reality, because let's be honest, they fail forward. You know, these groups, you know, it seems everything fails, but when we fail, it's a consolidation of their power and the destruction of ours. Go ahead.
And, you know, here's the other thing too, which, you know, can't escape your attention, is it's now switched. Okay. It's Russia before, now it's China. See, now we've switched to China. Before, they were on Russia, and now we've switched to China. And of course, we both know, or we all know here, that it ain't either Russia or China. Okay. We all know exactly who it is. And this is the problem. You know, this is the issue of the day. And until enough people can get it straight in their head as to exactly who is behind all of this, all the fraud, all the fakery, and all the actual true misery of people being impoverished, right? People losing their jobs. People, to be honest, people losing their minds. I mean, families with children with masks on. It goes back to what I said before. Did you ever think you'd live to see the day? And I try to block it out, because if I didn't block it out to a certain extent, I would just start to just go crazy. And I don't need that. And by the way, Jim, you know, as much as I would love to have the $20 and it would double my net worth, I can't take it in all good conscience, because there never was a game played. It's like we bet on the outcome of a game, but the game was never played. You see what I'm saying? So the bet is moot.
That's a very generous disposition, Paul. I appreciate that. I think you're very deserving, and I really like all your comments when you come on the show. Brew, give us, you know, where do you think we're going here, for crying out loud?
I don't know. Look, this stuff. Look, I really don't know. I don't have anything like, you know, just brilliant to say here at this point. You know, Paul is right. You know, I mean, they were doing the Russian narrative because of, you know, their agenda. And now they're throwing, it's like this big waterfall. Everything's Chinese all of a sudden. All of a sudden, we found all these Chinese spies and Chinese infiltrators and all this other stuff. All of a sudden, it's just this big flood. But we do know, look, the Chinese did not invent communism. They did not invent Marxism. It was through the use of the United States back in 1945, 6, and 7 that the United States, being used by the party that we shall not name at this point, created communism in China. They created it, but, you know, they blame it on us. The United States created communism in China. No, we didn't. The people that usurped our government, that used our government, all our power and all our influence, created it in China. Then they processed this all this time to where, you know, enter the World Trade Organization, sending our jobs overseas, so on and so forth. But what they did, and there's these people behind it, because they were benefiting from it, just to drain all the wealth, drain the power away from the United States and all these other Western nations while they built up China. What they didn't, Paul, here's where you got to catch. the dog got off the leash. What they didn't expect was China to start doing their own R&D and start making up their own new plan and say, you know what, these people think they got us. No, we're going to, boom, we're going to trump them because we outnumber them by so much. And now they've given all this great wealth and power. Look what we can do. And the dog got off the leash. That's why they got the big problem today. That's why they're trying to reel it back. But they are so giant, so out of control, and so dug in so many places, it's become everybody's issue at this point.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to say that China is not a concern. And, you know, out here in California, I mean, it's Chinese invasion is one of the biggest reasons I became, you know, as kind of racist as I am. It happened over time. And I just realized how uncomfortable I was with it. I mean, the street I'm living on now, when my family moved here in the 70s, it was like one black family, and every other family on the street was white, and most of them had kids. Now probably half the street, at least, is either Chinese or Indian. Half, 50%, just on my street, one street. And when you drive around the Bay Area, you know, it's, again, the Asian invasion is unmistakable. So that's part of the picture. I don't really think that there's any big issues that we couldn't overcome militarily if we were a determined nation. But as we all know, is trying to basically take us down. I mean, that's what they're doing. You know, I have absolutely 100% confidence that we could determine our own course in world history and maintain our own sovereignty in the face of any nation if we indeed had what you, Brew, like to call heritage, white Americans.
Well,
but unfortunately,
American, you know, period.
Yeah.
The people that are organic here, they have the morals, they have the ethics, they have the fortitude, they're decent people. Moral America, heritage Americans that go back generations through bloodlines. Now, I don't care. You know, people, look, this is the United States. People immigrate here. If it happens organically, that's great. But when it doesn't happen organically, when they hand out all these H-1B visas and then they falsify wealth and the magical money machine to implant people here or bring people here in droves and caravans and buy tens of thousands and give them on welfare and whatever and stick them in your neighborhood, I don't care what color they are in my block as far as it goes. If they got so organically and worked and they got morals and ethics, black, purple, green, I don't care. That's fine with me. But when they're put there and they're on welfare and they got the common sense of, common criminal, I don't want to be. That's wrong. And that's what they've done. That's how they destroyed things. Good.
Well, I don't know if there's a discernible difference, except for on the one hand, you know, they're being funded and subsidized. But when you use the word organic, I don't really believe that's really ever been the case after a certain point. And there was a policy in this country in place all through the late 1800s and early 1900s, which favored immigration from the original stock, okay, which was English and Northern European, Scandinavian. That's the immigration laws favored those people and disfavored others. And that was a good thing because these people, in my opinion, were wise in knowing what makes a nation work, okay? So, you know, the Japanese nation wouldn't be the Japanese nation without the Japanese. It's not just a hunk of geography. Sweden isn't Sweden just because it's a hunk of land. It's because of the Swedish people. So, you know, the race and the ethnicity and the color, in my opinion, and I'm not alone, it does matter because that's who we are as a people, as a group, as a culture. We come from similar stock. So I don't want to be invaded by China or India. And if I was, you know, calling the shots, the vast majority of these people would be packing their bags and going home. I don't care how moral they are. That's just my opinion. But I'm glad I heard yours.
Well, I mean, mine's not fully formed. Jim, so you've been asking us, so what do we think today? What do we think of the Supreme Court? So what do you, from what, everything you've gathered up until this very minute, one being the election stuff and the other being the vaccine stuff, where do you see us? Go ahead.
Well, Brew, I've been spelling it out. I think we're heading toward a civil war. I think there's going to be blood in the streets. I think that you got the Proud Boys in Washington. They're already having interaction with Antifa Black Lives Matter. Antifa Black Lives Matter is continuing to run rampant. I think that they believe they can manipulate the Democratic administration to do actions that would be unconscionable in any other, that the Biden and Harris have already indicated they're going to use executive orders to constrain our access to weapons under the Second Amendment. In my opinion, that is completely unacceptable. As long as they are in office, each day they get stronger, we get weaker. I believe they are going to abuse an authority that's illegitimate from the beginning. You're going to have scoundrels like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton pulling the strings from behind the stage. Obama isn't even the guy that he's supposed to be. He's a body double. I've demonstrated it. It still seems to me that's a viable way to defang this whole situation by exposing that the Democratic campaign was based upon a fraud, a gross misrepresentation during the debates of a man who was, in fact, not Joe Biden, as though he were. I mean, it's so clearly provable. You may have missed a part where we even have, Twitter picking up. You got others who are offering further observations and confirmation. I mean, this is just ridiculous, and that the Supreme Court will not accept an obviously appropriate case on the grounds that it might appear to be political when they exist for the purpose of resolving political disputes among citizens of the United States is, it's not just disappointing. It's actually, their action is beyond contempt. I no longer have any respect for the Supreme Court, whether it could possibly redeem itself by taking appropriate actions now. Well, it would be good were they to do that, but they have potentially inflicted irreversible damage upon the United States of America. The Supreme Court, I hold in equal contempt with that which refused that Dred Scott being allowed to have his case heard similarly on grounds of standing, as even Alan Dershowitz has observed. Alito and Thomas had the better of the argument. They had standing because the actions of these other states were affecting the residents of Texas and 22 other states that joined with Texas. This is reprehensible. This is offensive beyond words. I damn the Supreme Court for this completely inappropriate, wrongful action to the utter dismay and damage to the American people and to the future of the United States. This is a deplorable situation, Brew. I cannot find strong enough words to
who owns
to
you?
Them
if you're not in control, then someone
here.
Else is. Join me, Ivy West,
here.
For Voices
Bruce,
on the Wind,
Bruce,
Saturday.
Paul,
I discuss
in,
government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
There was blood on the wire.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
We did not engage in conflict that was out.